The meeting's over. Do you have the attendance sheet? Let's see, who's, the only person absent at this point is Peter. I believe everybody got the minutes of the last meeting from Jay. You have any omissions, corrections, deletions?
Just one minor correction. I think there's a word where it says in from of and in front of. I pointed it out. It's okay. A tiny little typo.
She's going to fix it.
Yep.
I looked at resolutions. This is review.
Can we pass that down, Jay? I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes for last month.
Motion by Legislator Bofiglio. Second by Rich. Any comments? Approved. I'd like to discuss Resolution 130. It's a resolution sponsored by Legislator Maloney and myself. After the last meeting the legislator had, we realized that certainly things haven't been processed over the last 4 years. These communities are looking for their money. Everybody assures me it's going to happen. What I would like to do is amend the resolution. Again, do you have that, Jay? The second resolve will be, after delivery of the memorandum of receipt, but no later than June 1, 2016. In other words, if this passes, we're giving the administration time to resolve everything until the beginning of June. So that's any discussion on this resolution now. This is a resolution not only to pay Denning, while the administration is working to get their money, to pay the towns that have been waiting for 4 years. Hardenburg, Lloyd, Saugerties, Shandaken, Ulster, and Denning. Let me see what Carl has to say first. So
you're adding in the second resolve a time, a date? June 1st. Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't have that.
Just did it.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's recognizing that things don't happen overnight,
no.
as we well know. Legislator Donaldson.
Well, after the informational meeting, I have a lot of concerns to the point where I think it would have been a lot easier if some people just said, hey, we made some mistakes and we're working on them. And, you know, we're sorry we made those mistakes. We're going to work on them and get them fixed. But that didn't seem to be the case. The case ended up being that everybody else made mistakes and we didn't make any mistakes. When our attorney, who was for some reason shut down during the conversation, which I was a little aggravated with, because normally I don't want the attorneys to talk except for when we're asking them something, but I would like to have Chris continue with the conversation because he knew exactly what it was. He knew the paperwork. He did it. And he wasn't able to continue with the conversation, and he was shut down, which was a little problematic for me because I think he should have been able to ask the questions that he wanted to ask. But for some reason, I don't know, our minority leader didn't want him to continue, and I don't understand that one. But anyway, it is what it is. And I think it was clear after that we should be taking care of these people and we'll get the money eventually, so.
Anyone else?
Yes,
ma'am.
I was very dismayed at how this has been handled. It seems to me that, you know, there is an outstanding MWBE, and I certainly support MWBE, but I've always, in my dealings with MWBE, they've been very reasonable. And so, it's hard for me to understand what's going on with this, but I definitely do support the reimbursement. So, I just, you know, it's a tricky situation because there's a good reason for MWBE, but in my day job, I've had a lot of experience with MWBE, and I've never had them refuse payment because a good faith effort was made. And in this case, there was an actual emergency that the community dealt with, and you know, it's just very hard to understand.
Maybe there's more to the story that we don't know.
Yeah. So I want to see the towns get reimbursed.
Yeah, it's my understanding that one of our associate legislators actually made a phone call to two or three of the other communities.
Uh-huh.
And was rather dismayed that there was a level of really non-interest somewhere along the way, and they, you know, including the women's and minority business situation, which really should have been, it was an excuse in the end. And I kind of agree with what Dave just said, that, you know, if it was, well, it fell through the cracks, it was wrong, we made a mistake, then what else do you say after that? Nothing. Move forward, you know, get it done. So, according to the note I just got here from Jay, I need somebody to make a motion that we amend the resolution to include the words, but no later than June 1, 2016. Now, what is that for? Listen, it doesn't, I don't want this to be any more confrontational than it has to be. It doesn't have to be done tomorrow. Everything takes time to process, to recheck the figures, I suppose. But, so I'd like to ask somebody to move to add that in the second resolve.
I'll make a motion to add in the second resolve after, and then, but no later than June 1st, 2016.
I'll second it.
Second. Any discussion, Madam Joe?
Okay.
No. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Carried. Yes, ma'am.
Did we hear? I know that Herb Litz at that at the hearing, Herb Litz said that Lloyd used an MWBE contractor. Has that been verified? I don't know.
He did. From what I think he made the phone call.
But you know what? It wasn't. It was something else. It was another acronym. And he was surprised that it wasn't that.
So it wasn't what we thought it was?
No.
Because I was going to say, I'm hearing that this stuff is being worked out, but if the in-house numbers were taken out, you obviously couldn't use an MWBE vendor if you're doing in-house. And if Lloyd was compliant, that would be more than the 20% right there of the whole, if the in-house. Because I don't know how you could factor in the in-house. But I don't know if we're having an academic argument, because I don't know if it's really more about our being late and missing whatever deadlines we missed. The whole thing confuses me, because the most thorough story that we see is the Denning one, because that's the one that Jay researched and you, John, provided a timeline and Chris worked on. So for the other towns, we don't. I don't know. Any backup?
I don't know.
I don't exactly. So, okay.
So consequently, the resolution 129 is withdrawn. That's the one that names Denning only.
Okay. We need to vote actually on the resolution.
You're right. So on the resolution, we voted to pass the amendment on the resolution.
I have just one other comment, and that is that it seems to me that even in you know, after the fact, there needs to be a workshop on MWBE so that people really understand it and are sensitized to it and can utilize it moving forward. Because there were good reasons to implement minority women in business requirements. And, you know, I honor that, but I think it was, you know, wasn't handled as well as it could be. On the other hand, I do think that the towns are entitled to reimbursement. So I just recommend that somehow a workshop is created for the towns and the county so that everybody is current and clear about what these regulations are and when exceptions can be made or can't be made.
And if I might just say, in one of the addresses that I made to the legislature when I had that other job, was to talk about set-asides and promoting an understanding of what the women and minority business community could accomplish, and very specifically did it, and quite honestly, it sort of fell on deaf ears, so you move on to the next thing. So now it's raised its head again, so maybe I'll shake the box that we packed everything in and see if I can find it. Any other discussion?
On the resolution?
On the resolution?
As amended.
Aye.
Aye. Carried. So I say we're withdrawing the other resolution as just conflicting. We had a resolution before us last month for discussion that was about the containers. That is being held in abeyance because I believe as a result, probably, and Evan can talk to it if you want to, the result of our controller and his office and the state controller's office, there's been some legislation passed in Albany to clear up some of the discrepancies that you folks were trying to illustrate. And would you want to chat about that or just...
Sure. I'm sure it would be hard for all of you to believe that it was almost like two ships passing in the night when we were working on our local law. Unbeknownst to us, the governor was getting ready to sign his state law. We knew that there was legislation pending out there, but when we were ready to go live on ours, the governor beat us to it, and he thus got the credit for it. So we will wait to see what the new program will look like, assess and monitor its implementation, and if there is still a problem come the fall, then we hope that the resolution and the accompanying local law could be put back in, and we could discuss it accordingly.
Which one now?
Are you talking about
this?
This
is for the donation box.
Oh, I thought we were talking about the styrofoam.
Nope. No, this is for the...
Did you too?
I did too. I'm trying
No,
to...
No, this is the containers. Well, all right.
Take no position on
stuff. I felt like this is the big containers.
Yeah. These are metal containers.
The big metal containers that...
that everybody throws mattresses in. Old TVs.
So that's withdrawn. We're going to be sending a letter. We did a little research on, as I said, we're starting to look into some of the old laws that are on the books to see if they're being adhered to, if they're necessary, or if they've, traveling in the shadows and need to be relooked at. One of the ones that we just brought up last time, there's a little low-hanging fruit sometimes, was the healthy vending choice law that, according to our audit, does not have necessarily healthy choices. And, it's not the end of the earth, but if it's not a good law or if it's past its time...
Do you have copies of that law there, John?
We do.
We're going to probably send
a letter to the Commissioner of Health. And
right. I remember when we passed it, and so I was curious as to what the law actually said, because I don't, it's been a long time.
Is it 50% or something?
Yeah, it's about 50%.
I think it's a good law. I mean, it'd be nice to know that it's being adhered to.
But it's not.
Right, no, but that's what I'm saying. So it's good.
Yeah, it's but I mean, at least we can review it. The health commissioner can look at it and say whatever the health commissioner feels
yeah,
is practical.
Yeah, they should look at that. I mean, I see sometimes in some of the, you know, you walk in some of the schools in the gym and you got a vending machine pumping out Coke.
I don't think we have jurisdiction over the schools. I think it's just in our building.
Well, I think you might be able to push jurisdiction on some of those things. In other words, the idea of what your, in other words, what they should have in them. I mean, well, the school district should be dealing with that. Some of them have, but you know, when you see that they're, you know, they have Coke and Pepsi, and that's about it. And maybe water, but they don't, you know, that they have a lot of the soda okay. because a lot of the schools are paid by Coke and Pepsi. To
what note did he write, Tom?
Vending purposes.
Okay.
I just want to speak just a little bit about that healthy vending. One of the things that would be better in these machines is if the machine, however, you know, you push numbers to get or you pull a bar or whatever, that the item states that it's a healthier choice, because there's nothing downstairs in that vending machine right there that you'd have to really scan it to see what is a healthy choice. Mm-hmm. And I know there's a vendor that we use at Bosie's Coffee Systems, and we have a vending machine, and they've got this little green sticker that says healthy choice on, you know, whatever they are, snack wells or a bag of cashews or whatever, which I don't necessarily think that those are all healthy, but they're probably healthier, you know.
Okay.
Granola bars and things like that.
Yeah, they're better than the M&Ms.
Yeah, but at least, you know, you're giving the purchaser a choice, and they can actually see what it is. You know, okay, here's the healthy selection. Pick, you know, one of those instead of scanning the whole machine to figure out. No, Pringles isn't it. Snickers, no.
I mean, this is not life and death stuff, but it would be nice to figure out where we're going. One of the things that I have done is talk to some of the folks in academia to see if, and it can't be done this semester or this year, to see if there's any students of history, social studies, or whatever they call it now, might be able to get credits for some report or assist us in doing research. For instance, I know one thing that Tom wanted us to do that we're starting to look into is the charter laws that may have been superseded, replaced.
No, we just want to keep the charter the same.
But I mean, what is on the books that they... That they supersede.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah.
And we can only do so much. The folks out here can only do so much. So if we could, to get whether it be a local high school history, or at the college or at the bigger college, where they can help with the projects and get an A or a B or a C in it, and it might help us. I mean, I try to read it, and I fall asleep, you know. It's not like reading a phone book sometimes. So that's a little bit of something we've tried to do so we could at least make some accomplishments in the review and the efficiency and review part of it.
The nice thing about with the county is you don't have to go back as far, right? I mean, how far
were the latest?
Well, as I said last time, Dave, when you were in Florida for that 2-month period.
I was there for 1 month.
We did find a resolution about PLAs, anything over $1 million project. I haven't done anything yet with it because I got to figure out, do I talk to the administration first, the purchasing first, do I bring the trades in? I mean, if it's not practical. If somebody really doesn't want to do it, there are reasons for not wanting to do it. Or maybe it has to be amended to a higher level or whatever. It's just not being done. So, you know, I'd like to bring the trades in and we can have a little conversation. Yes, Tracy.
Yeah, and that's something that I've always thought about, too. Just, and it's something we've argued about around this table and all different committees about the power, the staying power of a local law versus just a resolution and a policy by extension. But the executive office position is that a resolution has staying power, too. But it kind of begs the question of how do you have the continuity of so many years of resolutions, and when does a resolution stop being relevant? If it's still,
yes, that's right.
If it's passed, does it have to be rescinded to not be standard policy? I mean, things like you're talking about a PLA resolution we passed, green building lead standard resolution. You know what I mean? Like, do these things, not only are they still in practice, but is someone even aware of them? Because I'm not aware of every
right.
resolution that was ever passed. I mean, Dave's been here much longer.
But we have to start somewhere.
Yeah. No,
and maybe if this committee continues to exist mm-hmm. in the future, I mean, it could get deep fixed. But it would be nice to have a list that the committee follows up on.
Yeah.
Whomever they may or may not be over the years and say it's just not working, or it is working.
But are they still, in other words, like what happens when we pass another, you know, because also often, and I've seen this done repeated times, and somebody brings up something, and I would say, you know, I mean, I've been here for 22 years, so I'd say, well, I know we passed a resolution like that before, so, I mean, there's a resolution already in the book somewhere, I know that, because I remember it might have been 15 years ago, but I remember the resolution, and then somebody finds out, oh, yeah, there is one in the books. I mean, you go on those things, and sometimes when we pass a new one, what happens to the old one if it's affecting the same new one? In other words, if you do it, like, maybe there was one passed 25 years ago, so I wasn't even here, and I wouldn't remember it. And somebody's not researching it all the time, and you pass a resolution. So this new one really is similar to the other one, but different. So which one takes precedence then? Does the new one override the other one? It would depend on the way it reads. I mean, you know, that's the, I know when, and this is not an easy task. I mean, when I was on the Common Council, when we did a charter revision, I was in charge of doing a charter revision there, and I remember going through the books, and one of the most interesting things I found was, one of the things was, you could not go swimming nude on Sundays. That was actually...
You couldn't do what?
You could not go swimming nude on Sundays.
I guess in public.
Anywhere?
In public, yeah. Public. You could not... But which apparently means you could do it the rest of the week. You know, because they didn't want... But the law went back to the 1880s or no or so. So the law went back so far that people would go in, you jump in the water, you bathe yourself. And they didn't want you doing that on Sundays.
This is pre-swimming suit.
Well, I'm sure they were thinking about skinny dipping in a pond or something, you know.
Well,
I don't know. The way it read, the resolution just read that it was just something where you could not go swimming in the nude on Sundays. And it wasn't even a resolution. It was part of the code. When you're running through the code, we're trying to update all those codes. And it was like, I'm saying to myself, what the hell am I taking on here?
But, you know, over and above the obscure laws like parking your, you know, tethering your horse on Sunday by the old Dutch church or something, I can tell you that barely a week goes by that my son Robbie, who was like the master of these little things, doesn't call me and go, well, what are you doing about, I mean, his, you know, with the heroin epidemic and the problems and the law he passed that got signed about the schools cooperating with the health department and identifying people of risk and all those sort of things, and it's not happening, and, you know, he clears his throat and goes, well, what are you going to... Pardon?
What is happening with that?
Nothing.
Have you been getting reports?
But I'm only bringing this up now. I'm only bringing it up...
Information, no, we don't get any reports.
Listen, nothing. But I'm only bringing it up things that are, you know... far more important to me mm-hmm. personally than the vending machine, let's
right.
say, you know, but
it's valuable. That's valuable too.
But that's one of the things on my list, but there are some folks who think that this whole thing was started for me to start to be some guy to give people a hard time, which is not the point. There are things like that that are important. And Robbie reminds me of it on a regular basis.
You know, and I would like to follow up on what has been done with some of the privatizations, particularly privatization of mental health. I mean, I've gotten many complaints in reference to mental health in Ulster County, and I'm wondering, I mean, I don't know if, you know, hey, people complain, sometimes they complain no matter what, but I don't know if the, you know, if the changes made that, or if it's always going to be the same complaint. I know I got Jeremy Wilbur made comments to me about it. I've had, I'm trying to remember who else, another person, you know, that is...
I had a school superintendent call me.
You, what, Rich?
I had a school superintendent call me about a year and a half ago, saying after the county privatized the mental health services, they didn't have people weren't coming to their school to write, to be able to see the kids to write prescriptions. They used to come once a month or once every 2 weeks, and nobody had come, so the kids were losing.
But in order to know that information, the only thing, I mean, we could get information from the county executives, and I'm sure the information would be good information. But the point is, it's going to be information on what they're doing. But what are what has not been done, we need to gather that information from those people that, in other words, like Jeremy Wilbur, like this superintendent, reach out to these people. What has changed? Have you seen changes for the positive, for the negative? I would like to know if that is working. If it's working well, then let's say great. But if it's not working well, then maybe we need to do some fixes.
once again, while you were away,
I'm away for a month.
There was one article in the paper where some dude got nabbed three times in 2 days up in Saugerties, and somebody, the policeman, the family said there were no services to help him, because you don't normally do that if you're you're good. And then there was another one that I don't.
You can't do anything about that. That's the hospital. Uh-huh. You can't hold anybody against their will.
No, but I'm saying there was another article. Somebody said I was looking for something. It's in a paper. I was going to send it to you.
Because they're not getting help. And that's what Chief Sinagro was pointing out.
What's the person?
Well,
if he's committing a crime and they refuse help, you can keep him in jail.
Yeah.
They weren't keeping
anyway,
him in jail.
Anyway, we're going to look into those things,
go.
Dave. And, you know,
but
Jay has that written
down.
They're
in more trouble. They should have kept him in jail then if he refused services.
So, Tracy.
Just on another subject.
Right.
And it's funny because I mean, I came because I thought we were going to be talking about this. But another thing that I find difficult and is our computer system. So, for example, if I want to just search on the county website for a past resolution, I'm talking the digital age, I don't mean 30 years ago, and I just type in keywords, it's the archival is very hard to get through. I end up having to go onto Google. I type in my keywords, Ulster County, blah, blah, blah. I usually can get to the bottom of what year it was and what the, you know, healthy vending, and then I go back onto the county website to get it. And I'm not trying to just complain either. I mean, this,
no, but
I do think that would help. That would help our efficiency in terms of being able to even look through our own archival. This is the digital age. It should be an easy way to search through our recent history.
Listen, when
do it by department.
Victoria sends out the list of resolutions for the month. I start reading them, but before you know it, I'm sideways. I just come in and I get a printed out pack, so I can go home and go through them, because
I like to do
that. No, that archive is very slow.
It's extreme
because I tried to look up a resolution that I guess your son had produced in the county had passed about asking the state for more of these group homes, like rehabilitation services. Putting in so I couldn't find the resolution at all.
Couldn't find it
on the archives.
Yeah, it's totally. I went looking for the neighborhood notification law, which has a very clear name, and I ended up having to go through my extended hard copy files, brought out a file which I should have thrown out, but there it is, you know. And
is this a pesticide?
Yeah, but it took. I mean.
Yeah,
I should be able to just search.
I don't have a hard time. I just go in and I call Vicky.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. But that's That's man hours, not to be funny, but I mean, it's like if I'm calling Jay or Vicky or whatever, and we keep asking the clerks to do research, it shouldn't be that hard, and it certainly would help.
Yeah, it certainly would help answer some of these questions.
Not
only that, when you go to write a resolution yourself, when you're writing a resolution, you want to be able to grab things from other other spots sometimes, and it makes it easier.
I mean, it's almost as if we're in the age of these books.
Well, these are all the things that give you hives.
Yeah.
When you want to research something and you can't find it, and you know it's there, you remembered it, but what's the key word? I bet the whereas in any one of them was repeated 17 times.
Yeah.
In all the other resolutions.
Maybe type in whereas.
What's that?
Well, hopefully.
Okay.
Maybe it's something we can address.
Moving on. We have correspondence from the controller's office for discussion, for education, for edification on, and you've seen some publicity on it, it's the occupancy tax, the room occupancy tax. Evan is here to chat a little bit about it. And I just want to say that I really thank you guys for doing this. I mean, as I did when I chatted with you, I mean, I was the last couple of months when because of my business, I see people that are renting homes, and sometimes they'll be in the bar room saying how they rented it, and 2 feet away is a guy or a gal that's got a bed and breakfast, and they're complaining about it. However, that's what we're here for, is a discussion. And remember I told you, I said I was about ready to put a resolution in to repeal the whole bed tax because, a bed and breakfast has to go through review by the town board and the health department and, fire alarms and whatever, and other places don't. And yet, Richie and I have some great discussions about it because the places that rent the homes for a weekend or a week bring folks into the community and revenue to the homeowner, and they go out shopping. And so, Evan, would you like to have the floor for a while, knowing that everybody is really interested?
Absolutely. We are very, very excited about this one. It is our attempt to bring the bed tax into the new business frontier. So we view this as a clarification rather than an expansion. These new businesses, new hotel operators, for all intents and purposes, should have been paying the 2% all along. So what this does is put these new guys on the same business playing field with the traditional established hotel and motel industry.
Evan, do they pay the other 8%?
Sales?
I don't think they're paying probably sales tax.
Sales not yet, but that is an even trickier debate. This is our focus on a local level right now. What I'm being told and I'm finding is
I mean, if I get a hotel room at Holiday Inn,
They're paying it.
I not only pay, we'll say $100, I'm going to pay the $8 for the sales tax, and then I'm going to pay $2 for the for the bed tax.
But if you add you're supposed to pay it as an income tax. You're supposed to be realizing that as income.
That's the flip side.
Yeah, right. I mean, if I were to rent out 100 room nights at $100, I add that to my income.
It's different.
Yeah, but you still pay.
No, your renter doesn't pay. Your tenant doesn't pay. You don't pay sales tax on your tenant if you own an apartment. And they give you $900 a month. You're not paying.
You want hotels?
Because it's just starting.
Hotel's different.
Let Evan speak. It sounds like the Supreme Court, they cut you off before you're done it. My God, what was I saying?
Stop shutting Evan down.
So please, sir, because listen, I really think it's great you bring it up. Go ahead.
So, point one, level the playing field as far as the local tax goes. Number two, require all operators of these properties to register with the county. That way, we're shining a spotlight on them. We know who they are. We know where people are going. Number three, to ease the administrative burden of say, John having to come down and drop off his $5 a month to the Department of Finance, they will be able to designate Airbnb, who currently is the only game in town offering this type of agreement, to be the entity responsible for collecting and remitting the tax on the operator's behalf. They, for all intents and purposes, step into the shoes of the operator as far as tax collection purposes. So you have an issue with them potentially remitting or lowballing you, then we go after Airbnb. But right now, from our analysis and talking to people, they are the only major player offering this type of agreement, because they actually, differently from what I'm seeing in HomeAway, FlipKeys, the VRBOs, they like keeping their money, or excuse me, they like keeping their hands on the money exchanged in the transaction. They facilitate the booking. Some of these other services try to call themselves more advertisers, more aggregators. They leave it up to you to make the transaction when you show up to the hotel. But with Airbnb, the money exchanges hands. They take that 2% right off the top and then give it right back to the county based on a schedule that we come up with. Number four, this was a tangential piece that we got to after dealing with this, but the methodology for determining our current local occupancy tax is extremely antiquated, primarily based on service and meal offerings that, I don't know, the last time you've been to a Holiday Inn, they're not giving you three meals a day. So what we found in two prior audits conducted within the last, I'd say, 5 or so years, is that a significant amount of people were either undervaluing or overrepresenting the tax due. They just didn't know how to compute it, because it's not that simple when you're looking at the law. So we wanted to streamline it. Currently have the Ulster County Lodging Coalition reviewing this piece in particular to see if this could work with their traditional hotel structure. But the gist of that is, if you'd basically only be paying for the occupancy of the room, tangentials wouldn't necessarily be included, that you could be able to then line out to for either sales tax purposes or whatever, but the crux is the room rent. And then number five, after discussions with some town supervisors and county legislators, they said, okay, good idea, great, that we're leveling the playing field for private operators, but you're still giving us more responsibilities to deal with at home, i.e. code enforcement, energy, safety, et cetera, related issues. How are we going to be able to police this? So we said, fine, we have more revenue coming in, let's give it back to you guys. And we did that based on the state equalized rate, how we divvy back some sales tax. So that way, there's still money coming in from people for the county. Based on our estimates and projections that Airbnb have shared with us, the money going back to the towns wouldn't even be 50% of what we'd stand to gain from Airbnb alone. So this is...
Can I ask for clarification on this last point? Just
sure.
What do you mean about additional safety
for code enforcement?
Yeah, but they're code enforcement.
What do you mean?
Whether it's a long-term rental or short-term rental, they all have to have the same codes.
Yeah, what do you mean? If I'm on Airbnb, I'm going to have to have code enforcement?
Just like a...
That's a
way to say we need more money. I mean, yeah, that's... It's not you,
well,
but...
Well, let him answer this, because I don't even understand what you mean.
The towns are saying that now you're requiring us to potentially police more rental properties.
They're not policing. The police officers police them.
For again, the same standards potentially on a local level that a hotel would face. As far as signage.
But how legally or logistically? Airbnb, if I have an Airbnb property right now, are you saying that because you're levying 2%, all of a sudden I'm going to have to be code enforced as if I'm a hotel?
No. But what
are the towns saying? I don't understand.
Because in individual town codes, they have specific provisions related to rental and business properties that...
No, they do.
Yeah, they do.
Codes?
New Paul's does.
Codes, but not building codes.
It does.
Not building codes.
No, they have. They do.
No,
have
but still for signage. To even just
no, go, no Airbnb puts a sign out in front of their house.
Yeah, I'm confused by what.
No Airbnb puts a sign.
Listen, they don't until they do.
You know, can I just tell you? Well, we're opening up as a can of worms because now if somebody cuts hair, if somebody's a CPA, if somebody has a home health home, they watch kids at their house. Let's do this law so everybody comes under that umbrella. Then let's not just pick on somebody that rents it out maybe 2 weeks a year or 4 weeks a year.
I don't think you're getting what
their business is.
But Rich, in the law, which I can't quote,
the way I haven't seen a law
that's existing. If you rent your property out for less than 30 days or 60 days. On a regular basis, you are subjected
basis?
To the...
What's a regular basis? To once a year? Seven times a year?
It just says less than.
They do that I'll tell you what, if they do it, you know, all around in my where I run away for a month or so. Well, or, I mean, I don't rent mine out, but other people do, and they get like $3,200 a month, and then what they do is they have to collect an extra certain things with taxes. They have to do certain things by Florida law in order to be able to rent those out. They have specific rules.
I just don't understand what additional
and, well, and the city
well,
itself
I think
has its
saying
own.
Is that we're going to let them know where these Airbnbs are now because they're going to have to register with the county. And then they're going to feel obligated to go out and make sure that they're...
Right, and there are.
Right now, they don't know where they are, I'm sure.
You can tell when Airbnb type of zip code in the house comes up.
I went on and I've seen hundreds of that. Room rentals, house rentals in Ulster County.
They're all over.
Hundreds of them. But do the towns have right now the money to go find, you know, to research and see where they are?
What do they care?
Well, they're going to get it right.
Just let me say something. I think this is a great discussion. I don't want Evan to feel like he's under siege over there. But it opens up a can of worms. But maybe that's right. Maybe, even, you know, I told you about the chap in Mount Tremper who has 8 or 9 B&B rooms in his restaurant that goes back to some Norwegian kid, you know, juvenile home. And there's people, they're renting the houses next door to them.
They're different clusters.
Different 2, 3, 4, 5 times a year. Well, they're competing with them now.
They're not competing.
They are competing with it. But that's neither. I don't want to argue with it.
Go ahead, Evan. In the city of Kingston.
Excuse me, Manager Joe. Yes, ma'am.
Actually, you may be just about to address this, but it seems to me that if there's going to be a reimbursement back to the towns, it ought to be proportional to what is coming in from those towns. Not so one town has a lot of B&Bs, and another town has 3 B&Bs there, but... This is a fixed amount. It's 5% or 100,000.
No, but it's based on the state equalized rate. So it is a proportional amount. That's the overall amount that's levied back, but it's still proportional. But I mean, the city of Kingston is still going to be receiving more than, say Olive.
But what if Olive has 10 and Kingston has 1? Is Kingston still going to get more?
It usually lines up.
Okay.
Tracy.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's definitely a lot to work out. I'm grateful for the beginning of the discussion because this discussion was going to happen sooner or later anyway. I mean, as you say, it's the new frontier. But I kind of follow on to what Mana was just asking. When I first heard about the share with the towns, I completely support sharing with the towns, but I would want to see it a real share based on usage, which I don't know if that's possible. So it adds to what Rich just said. If Olive has 100 room rentals at $700, it's half of what the county got for that.
That's 1%. It's 2%.
Right, but versus based on an equalization rate when a certain town, because especially if you're making the argument that you earlier were about increased, and I've heard towns talking about increased traffic or going back to town needs or increased burden on code enforcement or whatever, which I'm still having a little bit of a hard time understanding, then it would stand to follow that you want the higher amount of money to go where the money's from. I want the towns that are getting, that are having those room rentals to get the actual benefit. I don't know if that's possible to work out as a formula.
And I will say that was my first draft, but I was quickly realizing that was not possible because the number of but the number of rentals are changing daily. How do you determine it?
Well, don't you know who's giving you the 2%? If Rich has a, if each of us at the room in this room has an Airbnb, Dave pays a thousand. Let's just make it round. Dave pays $1,000. Rich pays $400 to the county. Manna pays two. Go down the line. You just split in half. $500 goes to Kingston. You know, $400 goes to right down. You know, you see where your checks are coming from. You see, so it just it's split to the town. Where I see it potentially being a problem is in all these towns where it wouldn't be strictly by address. For example, Gardner zip is 12525, which is a New Paltz zip, or 12561, which is also a New Paltz zip, or 12589, which is a Wallkill zip. So it's like you need to determine what town proper it goes to, but that's something that I would want to explore, really actually having a percentage of the real money going back to the town, that the home base where the money really is coming from. And I also, I'm going to have to leave in a minute, but I have a follow-on question for later about how, because you said that Airbnb, and I've seen it in other markets where, you know, Portland, Oregon, they just assess the money you're talking about. Like, it's just, if I'm renting a room in Portland, Oregon, the percentage just goes to the city. But what do we do for Flip Key, HomeAway, and VRBO?
So, since Airbnb is currently the only ones offering this, the operator would still be required to register and still be the one to pay the tax.
The only
administrative ease as far as Airbnb is concerned is that the operator can designate Airbnb as the entity responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're only advertising on Flip Key and HomeAway and you have an agreement with them, you are still responsible to come in either
and
based on the schedule that's determined to be paying the tax.
You know, can I just, I appreciate everything you're saying. I mean, I am 100% opposed to this. I know a few people that do it in Marbletown. Most of them do it just to pay their taxes. Mm-hmm. When people are using their house, they're generally families and, you know, grandparents with one or two of their kids, and then their kids, the grandchildren, they wouldn't be at a B&B, they wouldn't be at a hotel, so they're not taking business, you know. It's not business that would go somewhere else. They're eating in a local restaurant, spending money. They're shopping at Emmanuel's. They're going out to Lydia's or the Roost for breakfast. I mean, these people are the people we want in our communities, and they're spending enough money. They're spending.
Yeah, but you can make that same argument with about the people that go to a hotel. So why should we charge them 2%?
I don't think people stay in a hotel for more than a couple of days with their family.
Well,
nobody's just staying in
B&B
for 6 days.
A lot of times they're staying in B&B.
They're not staying in
B&B
with kids. I don't believe they're staying in B&B
with kids. No, probably not with kids as much.
The people I know, they're coming with kids, grandkids, families. They don't do it 50 weeks a year. They maybe do 10 or 12, just enough to pay their taxes. They're weekenders, so they're not here. They're doing it. I mean, the option is have the house empty, or have people using a house that are going to be shopping. I compare it to Cape Cod in a way. Cape Cod, you can rent your house out. You're not paying a tax to your town to rent your house out in Cape Cod. There's no rules or regulations. There's no extra, and I don't see the extra burden on the community, because if I rent my house out for 12 months, you could have a family of four or five or six living there that are driving up the driveway every day, going to school, going here, going there, driving on the roads, going to the transfer station. Or you can have a B&B, a family of six coming every
week. But therein lies the rub on the law, because if you're running for 12 months, you're not subjected to this.
I know that, but what I'm saying is, what's the difference on the infrastructure, on the impact to the infrastructure? Either way, you still got people running to town, you got them running to here, running to there, they're using the roads. My argument, my concern about the B&B rentals more than anything is it's housing that's not going to families anymore, because people that used to rent them to people that can't afford a house are now renting them and getting more money from weekenders coming up from the city. So I would rather take that money and invest it in affordable housing, workforce housing. Let's give it to the community and say, hey, how many? I mean, my one neighbor used to rent them a year at a time. Used to be families in there.
That's the whole point, though. When you're doing that, you're not renting
it
out to somebody.
Any.
No, I'll tell you what. I'll I'll use my place in Venice because I read the paper there when I get it delivered. If I'm there for that month, I have it delivered to my house, so I always read it. And one of the things they were pointing out was that they need housing there, because what happens is people are renting them out. I mean, if I could rent, I mean, basically, it's
right, you're going to get $1,000 a week instead of $2,000 a month.
Yeah, they're getting $3,200 a month.
Nice.
So I'm then $3,500, ones on each side of me. So what they're doing is they're not going to rent them out to somebody else. Why rent it out to a family when I can rent it out for 3 months and I've got it covered for the year?
Right.
And they walk away. So as a result, they're pointing out that the people, all those people that work in those restaurants and all those places that are in Venice, they have to live 25-30 miles outside of that area.
That's what I'm getting at. Let's take the money and invest it in.
But that's the whole point, though. This is what. So why not get some money out of these people? Lisa comes into the coffers.
But all it's
going
to do is go in the county coffers to pay bills. Let's build our infrastructure.
Wouldn't it be better to have Carl pay your bill, or you pay the bill? If you have people coming in from outside,
people are paying. The person that owns the houses are paying school property, county taxes as it is.
Why not pay the extra 2%? I mean, you know,
I don't think they're gonna. And you know what? A lot of times you register once under Airbnb or VRBO or whichever website. After that, the people call you directly and make your own appointment to come back. You're just be on those websites at $40 a month or $50 a month. So now the one guy's got all repeat people coming back. He's not even on a website anymore. You're not going to get 2% from him. He's not going
to. He wanted to say something.
He's not going to pay 2% because now he's not even. He's invisible now.
Let's not forget who's paying the tax. We aren't the ones, community members, paying this. These are people coming to us, enjoying our area, and paying, for all intents and purposes, a very de minimis amount of money. You go down to Florida, go other places. I mean, these are 10-15% taxes sometimes. So to add on $2 to a $100 rental and now charge someone $102 versus $100, they're still going to come. And we're talking about the cumulative effect of what this could do, either for
do we have a budget crisis in the county that we need the money that bad? I mean, is the whole goal of being in government is to collect more money? That's not why I'm here.
But this is an amount that they ultimately should have been paying all along.
Well, you're paying it, and they could be paying it on their income taxes.
Now we clarified the definition of a hotel in county law. Even if you read that without our clarification, an Airbnb falls into that. You're offering room and board.
They're not offering board. Or room. They're not offering food.
Well, but not necessarily as a
there's no
motel
space. There's no Airbnb that people are getting food. They either buy their own food and put it in the fridge or they go out to dinner. There's nobody cooking food.
There's some, but not.
They're B&Bs.
Yeah, but they're offered a room. A lot of places don't offer room and board. Some motels, you don't get any breakfast or anything.
The Econo Lodge doesn't offer.
Right. But not Airbnb.
Yeah, you know, I like I said, I think it's an important discussion, and I'd be on its face, I'd be open to discussing the 2%, especially with a real share with the towns based on where the money was really originated. But I didn't expect this talk about additional code enforcement and all the, and that gets me concerned. I think that's going to get a lot of pushback, because you're talking even more than the kind of Airbnb operator you're talking about, Rich, who rents, you know, who isn't in the house. You're talking, in some cases, I mean, I have a friend who incidentally was trying to figure out how to pay the county the taxes, not just the 2%, the whole taxes. She made calls. She's trying to figure out, what do I do to pay what I owe? And it was difficult for her to navigate. But she rents rooms in her house that she lives in. If now you told her, well, we're going to have to send code enforcement, you're going to need a fire exit, and you're going to need this.
No,
you're
he's
gonna
not
need
saying
this.
That.
But she might be in violation of some state law. She's running a room.
No, Tracy, I think you get it mixed up here. He's not saying that. The towns were the ones that were complaining. Well, they're the ones that said.
The towns are complaining because people make loud noises. That's the ones I hear in Watertown. They call the police if somebody's making loud noises.
The towns, if I'm a town supervisor or a mayor, I'm going to try to get money if I can get money. If you're going to collect money.
But the towns can do the same thing.
The towns can implement their own tax.
I know that, but they're, no, they can't. They're
yes, they can. Yes, they can.
Their point,
they
cannot initiate.
Airbnb, they can make an agreement with Airbnb, Gardner, to have a 2%.
Well, what I'm saying, I don't think so.
Not under the guise of a hotel tax.
Okay, listen, let's just...
What I'm trying to point out is
the
town.
Ulster County is the one designated.
Every town, like, right, not every town.
This is the start of a good discussion, folks, whether we like it or not. Now,
they have to enforce. Some of them deal with hotels and motels. It's part of that thing. So what their argument is, the city's argument, I would assume, is to say, well, if you're going to be doing this tax, making them, calling them a hotel, therefore, now I have to inspect them like they're a hotel, as opposed to like they're a...
You have exactly raised an issue that I didn't think, that wasn't on the table before. If what we are ultimately saying is that, using my friend as an example, that my friend who rents one room in her house out for a couple of days at a time is now going to be seen as a hotel and have to put an emergency exit... Emergency lights, fire
extinguisher, smoke.
Well, that would be up to the town to...
But yeah, but that's
and
a not, totally
but,
different
But
deal.
Not
that's
all of that is wrapped plan. Into what it means
that's
to be
correct.
A hotel. A bed and
but,
breakfast might
But
have
this is the residual stuff that comes up with these things. I mean, Richie can say that they're not competing with a B&B. Yeah. But if there's a B&B here, and they had to go through an entire process...
with 2% tax.
And wondering... And wondering who...
How much
have parking spaces and handrails on the deck?
How much are we?
And next to them, somebody's running a house.
Yeah, I don't
think they got a gripe.
I think it's a
I know, it's, and it's
so it's a good discussion.
It's a debate. It is. It's
a good discussion. Listen, let me read a note here, guys.
That's a human.
The commissioner, Mr. Golick, said that the county attorney is reviewing this with Evan, and we will be forwarding some draft of this up to Albany for their input discussion. It's not happening tomorrow, and that's why Evan and Elliot were so good. There's no resolution here today for us to have to vote on tomorrow and everybody screaming at each other out there. It's a good one. It's not a political discussion, for God's sake. I mean, it's not Democrats versus Republicans.
Well, people that want to tax and people that want
well,
to try to keep
that's
people
okay,
afford
but that
it
goes down through what's
yeah,
reasonable.
So
I think this is the start. I think it pays to read it. I think it pays to understand that if I had an apartment, your friend has an apartment, she rents it out for
a house,
whatever it is, for 31 days or 61 days. It's just like you renting out a house to a family. If they rent it for less than that, it falls in that gray area that you're not, then you owe.
But there is also, I mean, I feel like there is a distinction, you know, and that's what's so interesting, and I do think you're right. It's a great discussion,
Tracy,
but there is a distinction.
I just opened the discussion by saying up until 3 weeks ago, I was prepared to introduce a resolution to eliminate the bed tax because then everybody's on an equal footing.
Mm-hmm. That's what we should do.
And boom. But, you know, the guys that have to balance the budget will go through the ceiling. The controller's office is looking for more revenue. I mean, we've got to balance out what's right and wrong.
As far as New York counties I've either talked to or identified with local laws dealing with the collection of bed tax on short-term vacation rentals, Tompkins, Essex, Franklin, and Delaware.
Okay.
All have either gone back in and changed their local laws to capture or
and Delaware?
Delaware County, yeah.
Well, you know enough people up there, Rich, you get a feel for it.
To either capture vacation rentals, or they've said that their current law on the books defined hotels suitable enough to already do it.
Okay.
So it's four.
Thanks.
Five out of four, five, six.
Thanks. It's a good start. It's
all right. Did you get to say everything you wanted to have? Tax?
I don't know.
Take everybody's money. I just can't comprehend. I mean,
back.
I appreciate
just that these Airbnbs are here.
And that's
there are hundreds of them.
We have the luxury right now, say the other sharing economy pieces, Uber. It's only in the city. We can say we're not ready to deal with you yet.
Well, hopefully not for long.
But Airbnb is here. And just to continue briefly with the inspection piece, we talked with a local prominent business leader in Kingston who has an Airbnb uptown that he has. He, being an upstanding business guy, went to the city of Kingston and said, I want to run this by the books with your blessing, and I don't want you guys coming in here and shutting this down in a month or two. He sent the fire department up, looked around, okay, you've got a smoke detector, you've got a carbon monoxide detector, blah, 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 you're good. And now he's being left alone. But these aren't major improvements. Again, like, they're not going in and saying you need to create a fire escape.
You don't know some of the building inspectors around the county,
and
a lot of communities, probably no other community except maybe Sorgerty's and Ellenville, would even have the resources to have somebody go in and inspect 30 or 40 or 80 buildings in their community.
But that's why we were told.
Town, yeah,
but see, that's why they want to contribute.
We were told by
the
local guys we could use tape.
All right,
but again, we're open to wherever else you see that money going.
Thanks.
It's
good.
Keep in the people's pocket that's paying it.
Manager.
This is on a different topic. Are we?
Yes, ma'am. We're
done with this for now.
Done for this for now.
I just want to go back. I do have a concern about the fact that the MWBE waiver was denied. And I just, you know, I know we talked about that last time. We talked about a lot of stuff last time. When Bob Sudlow presented, and you know, I can understand that the county is going to be reluctant to sign off on this with a waiver denied. And does anybody recall whether that was also being appealed?
It is
being appealed.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, because they gave us two different.
Yeah, 6 days and 20 days.
It was going to be 60 days.
Yeah. So. All I'm saying, you know, I don't know what the root of this is, but you know, people may want to wait till.
And you are right. You're right. You're bringing that up. And if I just may say, which I'll say ad nauseum for a while, which has nothing to do with this except is an illustrated thing. We have some people that we know from Saugerties, and you heard me say it at the caucus the other night. The chap had a debilitating illness, terrible. His wife was sick. Their children had problems with, and their grandchildren. They were in the house. And in 2012, the fellow didn't pay his general tax, did pay his school tax. Yeah. The next year in 2013, paid both of them. And in 14, paid both of them. And in 15, the county took the house away, not just for the taxes, but an extra 20 grand or 30 grand that the guy didn't get in his pocket. And you know when he found out? When they knocked on the door and said, we own your house now. And it was awful. The people that bought it wanted to work at them. They knew something was wrong. My point, Manor Joe, is the damn county, or the darn county, or the Shuckins County, didn't seem to be too concerned about this man and lady and their horrible illnesses. And here we've got communities that are waiting since 2012 that the work hasn't been done. If you go back and follow it, the work hasn't been done. The follow-up hasn't been done. The requests haven't been done. The letter from Albany back in April said, we're pleased to announce that you're the agent, and here's what you have to do. So now you have a little community like Denning in particular, but you know, everybody else who's got money owed is in a sense of crisis with the 2% cap, and we keep getting a runaround. So, you know, I mean, we put in there to the June 1 thing, which gives everybody what, 3 months, 2 months, to try to resolve it and get the money from the state. If not, we pay it.
Yeah, that's you know, once the appeal is decided, then.
Hopefully the county will do what it's going to do.
I mean, we can put a resolution through. But
yeah, but even the appeal maybe could be timely. And that's hardly the town's fault. Just like my friend, the people that I got to meet who had their house taken away. Tough break.
Yeah.
Tough break.
Listen, if we pay the towns and then the county gets the waivers approved, the county just keeps the money that comes
in. Yes. Yes.
I mean, but
and that's written in the resolution.
I think a lot of legislators are going to know that the county's going to.
Yes, ma'am.
Are we discussing polystyrene foam?
I think they,
foam,
I think
or is
they
that
realized
that
okay. if the county didn't screw up.
I should have told you that
that's
before.
Okay. Yeah. Either,
I should.
I'm okay. Towns.
Well,
I'm coming anyway. Because I'm coming.
I should have told. I'm sorry.
It's totally okay. I'm glad I was here for the conversation. It was a very
interesting motion.
Ask for a motion to adjourn.
I'll be right back.
Well, you can see.